Casinos know gambling is a lousy deal, except for them. They call it gaming instead. Whatever the label, it's bad news. From lottery tickets to video poker, gambling spells big trouble, taking money from those who can least afford it, those hoping for a big break. We recommend a break, all right, a listening break right now to break the gambling habit. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Our current series tells about seven secret snares that can trap the Christian. Today, Dr. Lutzer turns to snare number two, gambling. Don't bet on it.
Perhaps you heard about the pastor whose church was in debt. And he was praying about how it might be met, and he began to dream everything in triplicate. Everything came in threes. As a matter of fact, as he sat down at the table, he somehow noticed that even the dishes were organized like triangles, like a trinity. And he began to think, God, you're trying to say something to me, but I don't know what it is. He went to the door and found the newspaper and noticed that it was the three-star edition. He opened it to the third page, the third column, and noticed that the topic was horse racing. And he thought to himself, you know, maybe God is in this somehow. And as he read, he noticed that the third horse mentioned was Trio. Now he knew for sure, so he got his board together and he convinced them to liquidate all of their assets so that they could finally win some money, and they put it all on Trio. Well, you've probably already guessed it. Trio came in third. Now, you know, we smile at the story, but it does bring to mind two important concepts. First of all, that gambling is something that is a temptation to everyone, that could be a temptation to pastors as well as to parishioners. Gambling is widespread. Secondly, it seems that in gambling, someone else always wins. You're not the one who wins, someone else does. Gambling, of course, is taking that which is of value, usually money, and through chance, hoping that it will produce greater value, more money. As you know, this is a series of messages titled Seven Snares. And as a result of that, we're looking today at gambling, which, of course, is a snare that millions and millions of people in our society have fallen into. This message is intended to answer four questions. The first question is, why should we be concerned about it anyway? I mean, after all, can't people do with their own money whatever they want? If they want to gamble it away, it's their money. Let them. Why preach on the topic? There's a second question, and that is gambling a sin, or is it only a habit that potentially could be bad? Or is it actually a sin? There's no 11th commandment that says, thou shalt not gamble, and so people have said, maybe it isn't that bad, maybe it's something we can do. In fact, there are churches that do it from time to time. Third issue that we're going to discuss is, we're going to take a brief tour into the mind of an addict and look at the world through his set of glasses. And then finally, we're going to answer the question, is there a way out for those who are addicted to gambling, or for that matter, what is the way out for any addiction that might be spoken about today? The first question, why bother? My dear friends, I want you to know that the effect of gambling on our families and on our society is devastating. Did you know that children today are targeted? And according to one report, about two-thirds of teens have gambled. In Massachusetts, 47% of seventh graders have played the lottery. Also, among those students, 1 in 20 has been arrested because of gambling-related charges. Gambling, as we shall learn, never happens in isolation. It always brings with it a cluster of other sins. For some, it might be alcoholism. For some, it might be despair. For others, it might be suicide. But very seldom does gambling ever act alone. What we also find, if, for example, in Michigan, 45% of male college athletes admit to gambling on sports. Many people were surprised when it happened at Northwestern University, but that actually is a microcosm on what is going on throughout the whole country, because gambling has become such a deep part of our society. Students are gambling their tuition, gambling their allowance, gambling, gambling, gambling. Christianity Today had an article on gambling away the golden years, speaking about how casinos are deliberately seducing and targeting the elderly. For example, some are giving $25 worth of coins free if you just show up, with the knowledge that among those who come, there will be others who will finally be hooked, which is what the gambling industry so desperately, desperately wants. Pat Fowler, of the executive director of the Florida Council on Compulsive Gambling, says, "Who else will pick you up and take you to an engagement in an exciting activity in a safe environment, give you lunch, call you by name, and make you feel important?" Casinos have 50% discounts on many things that they sell, and even for drugs for seniors, that is, prescription drugs, if only they gamble in their casino. Literally millions and millions of seniors are being bused to casinos, particularly on Sundays. One casino has a card that people use to keep track of their wins and losses so that they can reward you if you've made many, many investments. The lure of gambling. Did you know that the gamblers are not subject to truth in advertising like other companies? They can say pretty well whatever they wish. Let's go to the south side of Chicago. There was an ad which ran that said, and I'm just looking for it here, yes, "This could be your ticket out." This could be your ticket out of the ghetto. A number of years ago, our mayor had an ethics commission to study the feasibility of gambling, and I had the opportunity to speak to that commission. I pled with those men, saying to them, look, why appeal to the very basest of all motives in order to pay taxes? I said, I don't gamble, but I should be paying my fair share of taxes. It isn't right that other people are going to be paying more than I, because I do not gamble and they do. And there was an alderman present who said that on the days when the Social Security checks arrive, and on the days when you have the checks coming in, the paychecks, he said 100, and now he's speaking from Chicago South Side, $100,000 flows out of my community, the community that can least afford it. Money that should be used for clothes and tuition and food and rent is being gambled away. You know, of course, that the government used to just tolerate gambling. There were certain laws, they tolerated it. And now we live in a society in which the government is taking the lead. We'd be surprised if the government would take the lead in the pornography business and say, now we're into pornography to raise the level of revenue in the state. And yet they're into gambling, and the effects are essentially the same and just as devastating. As a result, in 1997, that's a couple of years ago, Americans lost $50 billion in legal gambling, primarily casinos, of course, and also in the lottery. $50 billion. About 4% of Americans are addicted to gambling. Millions upon millions upon millions gamble, but about 4% are addicted. Gambling is a parasite that feeds on a community. It destroys, it debilitates, it appeals to the most base of all motives. Yes, we have to be concerned, and as individuals and as a church, we can do something about it. And the gambling industry is shocked that they're not hearing anything from the churches. The church that used to stand against gambling now is silent. Listen to what's happening even in our own state legislature these days. You find opposition coming only from those groups that say it should be in our community. Where are the voices who say this is wrong? This is wrong. Of course we should be concerned. Let me give you another reason, and by the way, the statistics and the information could go on endlessly. I've had to cut this message down and pare it down so that we could get it all in today. Secondly, is gambling a sin? Is it a sin or is it only a potentially harmful habit? The new Roman Catholic Encyclopedia says that it is not a sin, only if it is inconsistent with your duties and obligations. And so, as you know, in many churches today, there is gambling, and gambling becomes a means of revenue, and people accept it, and they say, well, it's fine because it's fun, and it doesn't hurt anybody, as long as you don't get into it too deeply. So is it a sin? I prefer to agree with Augustine, who said, the devil invented gambling. And that could be true, because the devil took the first gamble, as it were, against God, thinking that he would receive more than he would as God's servant, so he became God's enemy. And the results, of course, were disastrous. Let me give you four biblical principles that are violated by gambling. The first is the biblical work ethic. The biblical work ethic. You have to understand the gambling industry derides and depreciates and actually is, what shall we say, it takes work and it turns it into something that the gambling industry thinks should be derided and demeaned. Listen to this advertisement in Massachusetts. It says, there are two options on how to make millions. Plan A, start studying when you are 7 years old, real hard, get a good job, get up early each day, crush the competition, climb over your co-workers, be the last one to leave every night, avoid having a premature heart attack. By the time you're ready to retire, you should have your money. That's Plan A. Plan B, play the lottery. Fat chance.
This is Pastor Lutzer. My friend, when you think of the gambling industry, think of a casino, the hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars it takes to build these very, very beautiful buildings. Always remember that those buildings are built with money that should be spent for bread and for shoes and for clothes and for college and for other kinds of investments. The gambling industry plays on greed. And when you stop to think of your options, it is so much better to never, never become involved. Parents, I don't think it's wrong for you to go into your teenager's room every once in a while. There are some parents who think that you shouldn't. I'm not sure that we should snoop in our children's rooms, but it's important to know what they are doing. If they are in gambling, would you strongly urge them to stop immediately? It is a deadly, deadly sin.
Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part one of Gambling, Don't Bet on It, the third message in a series on seven secret snares. Tomorrow, more insights on a national plague. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. This series can be yours in Dr. Lutzer's book, Seven Snares of the Enemy. Your copy will be sent as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. For more on the scourge of gambling, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.